good morning, everyone. That was very tearful, a happy, tearful moment for Anna and all around, and all the prayers that went up to you. For you, to the Lord. So today I'm going to read Hosea 3, the NIV version of it. The Lord said to me, go, show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites. Though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethek of barley. Then I told her, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will behave the same way towards you. For the Israelites will live many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without ephod or household gods. Afterward, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord, their God and their David, their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
What would you do if God asked you to marry someone that you knew would not be faithful? How would you respond? God asks you to marry someone that will betray you over and over again. Someone that would lie to your face, run away from you, humiliate you in public, stay gone for months on end, and yet God called you to love them. Most of us would not take kindly to that type of a task. Most of us would even question God about even asking of us such a thing. We would doubt that we had even heard from the Lord, that he would even speak to us in such a way. Yet this is exactly what he asked Hosea to do. Go, take, and marry that prostitute, Gomer. This man of God, this prophet of God, the anointed of the Most High, the one who spoke God's messages. We're used to hearing the prophets speaking about God or speaking and warning us of God's impending judgment. Yet Hosea's life would not just be one of preaching, speaking, and warning. His life, his marriage, would serve as his message. As we look at that life, or even the book of Hosea, it's the beginning of the end. Hosea is the first of the minor prophets. How many minor prophets are there? Anybody? How many apostles would we say there are? 12. There's 12 minor prophets. There's 12 minor prophets. And they're minor prophets not because of what they have to say is less valuable. They are minor prophets only because they did not write as much as the major prophets. The major prophets wrote a lot, talked a lot, preached a lot. The minor prophets wrote much less. But nonetheless, hugely important and valuable. As a timeline, this is kind of the last six kings of Israel, the time of Hosea. And these last kings, they were not following God. As a matter of fact, in 20 years, they had gone through six kings. Six kings in 20 years. Four of them would be assassinated. One of them would be asked to leave or physically removed from the throne. The cultural settings at the time, they were chaos. They're filled with idolatry, political instability, moral corruption, deceitful alliances, conspiracies, fraud. These last kings were not good kings of Israel. They imposed heavy taxes, oppressed the poor, worshipped idols, and had a total disregard for God. And Hosea preached, and Hosea preached, and Hosea warned, and Hosea warned. Yet they insulted him, and they mocked him, and they ignored him. All the people of Israel had sinned against God, like an adulterous woman sins against her husband. All of Israel was guilty of spiritual adultery, choosing to serve other gods, worshiping other gods, chasing after other gods, praying to other gods, all acts of spiritual adultery. And our God is a jealous God. There shall be no other gods before me. He calls the church his bride. He calls the fellowship his body. These are pretty intimate words of relationship, full of vows, covenants, oaths, and promises. Jesus called us more than friends. Then Hosea says, "The Lord said to me, 'Go, show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods.'" Here's your first one. There's this loving pursuit. There's this loving pursuit. God utilizes Hosea as an example of the scandalous relationship. Hosea is married to a prostitute, unfaithful and disloyal. And God's relationship with the nation of Israel parallels the relationship that Hosea had with his wife, Gomer. Although Israel had made a covenant with the one true God, Israel cheated with other gods, bowed before other gods, even created graven images, like Gomer, yet another lover. Hosea would be one that, his life would be one that mirrored God's own broken heart. Because the real betrayal wasn't between Hosea and Gomer, it was between God and his people. And Hosea was a prophet that lived like no other prophet. He was asked to endure what no other prophet could or probably would endure. Hosea experienced deep, harsh pain, suffering, personal tragedy. Hosea spoke out of the very heart of God, from the heart that is broken by spiritual infidelity, from a heart that loved and yet was still betrayed. Hosea knew firsthand what it was to feel the sting of broken covenants. Hosea knew what it was to feel the sting of broken promises and vows that were ignored. You see, once the Israelites, they loved and they honored God and they devoted themselves to him, but now they chase idols. Once the Israelites loved God and they honored God and they devoted themselves to him, but now they sought monetary sexual pleasures. Now they worshiped money. They worshiped sex. They worshiped power and prestige. They had a disregard for God's kingdom. And are we much better as a society? Have we improved much over thousands of years later, chasing the things of this world like a lover seduced by fame and fortune or lured by the lust of momentary pleasure? God asked Hosea to marry a prostitute, Gomer, knowing that she would leave him and chase other relationships and would never be faithful. Hosea loved her in spite of her sinfulness. Hosea loved her, though it shattered his heart. And through his brokenness and through his pain, he would follow God. And he would feel the pain. Listen, he would feel the pain of God. He, perhaps more than any other prophet, would feel the agony of rejection over and over and over again. He would walk in the place of disappointment over and over again. To ache for the love, only to be rejected. Israel would be disobedient, but God would still be willing to take them back. And God commanded Hosea, show the same type of love and forgiveness to Gomer. Go and show your love to your wife again. You have got to be kidding me. How many times, Lord? Let her go. Turn herself to herself. Let her go. Turn her over to her own ways already. Why should I even want this harlot around me in my presence? She scatters and shatters and taints my reputation. Why should I even want to be in her presence? Ungrateful, disobedient, unfaithful. She wants to go. Let her go. Seems reasonable. And I've heard it countless times from people. And most of us would land there. And understandably so. Out of our pain, we would respond and we would react. The Lord's command to Hosea, listen, and his obedience would shape everything about him and his effectiveness as a prophet. He was a man chosen by the Lord not to just speak the message, but to become the message. You can look at Hosea and see the example of this unconditional love, a love that never quits, a love that always pursues, a love that just dogs them, even when they're unfaithful, even when they mock you, even when they make fun of you, even when they turn their back on you and disrespect you. Hosea had good reason to divorce and leave Gomer. And he had every right to do so, and no one would blame him. And this wasn't the first time. Why subject yourself to this over and over and over? Go show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress. This time, she's not just prostituting on the streets. This time, she's long gone. She's indebted to other people. She's writing checks her body can't cash. She had fallen so low that she is now the property of another man, and he was putting her and selling her on the auction block. Perhaps, you know, maybe there was a time in her younger days when she was desirable and she could turn some heads. She could seduce maybe even the strongest of men. But now she's older. She had 3 children with Hosea. Society had used her and abused her. Her reputation had run its course, and she had a reputation. And now she's viewed as worthless, insignificant, easily discarded, inconsequential, tossed aside. Let's see what I can get for her. And maybe even once what seemed like a life of fun and pleasure, now she's the prisoner of her own making. Now she's caught in a web of her own spinning. And she's stripped of everything. Ashamed, humiliated, sold into slavery. This is beyond prostitution. This is beyond prostituting. This is sex trafficking. This moves into the place of sexual slave labor. And Hosea is told, go and get her. Go and get her. This is not the prodigal son. This is not the father pacing the floors, waiting for his son to come to his senses, though that he'll come back. Maybe this prodigal girl will come to her senses. She is too far gone. You go. You have to go and get her. There's no waiting for her to return. You must go save her. Go rescue her. And this serves as an example that Hosea would live that runs parallel with God and Israel and all of mankind. This is the heart of God. While you were far from me, while you were enemies, while you were prisoners of your own making, while you were enslaved, while you were mocking me, I came for you. Listen, I've had many encounters over decades of ministry. Examples where people can look and watch and see. And like Hosea, I've been placed in extreme circumstances from time to time. I experienced the broken hearts and the pain of broken relationships. Betrayals that would cut deep. Relationships that you build and invest into just cut off. Gone. And I'll never forget. It's like you never forget your first time. You never forget. Never forget the first time, the innocence of the ministry, boom, taken from me. It's gone. Never forget it. Pastoring a church in Connecticut, a woman started coming to our church. There's not many. There's 30 of us maybe gathering together in a church, having some fellowship. This lady starts coming. It's wonderful. She thinks it's great. She wants to try to get her husband. So we start praying about her husband to come. So she's been coming for a while. And then her husband comes. Amazingly, her husband comes. You know what her husband does? Her husband comes in the back door, and he sits down in the first chair. Comes in, sits down in the first chair, like many people do. They just come in and sit. And they don't dare walk into the sanctuary. They come and sit, right? And he's sitting there with his arms folded. Because he's got to check out this thing that somehow is influencing his wife, right? He's got to check it out. So he's checking it out. And he does that. He comes. Comes for weeks, for weeks, for weeks, for months. He comes. Eventually, he comes to me and he says, I want to get baptized. I recognize Jesus as my Savior. Hallelujah, but I don't want my wife to know. I want to have a baptism. We're going to have a baptism service and we're going to surprise her. I'm like, let's do it, man. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. Love it. Had a great baptism service. She was surprised. She's weeping. She's crying. Everybody's rejoicing how wonderful it is. We were together years like that. And then she stopped coming. She just stopped coming. That was it. She just stopped coming. And then somebody told me, you know what she did? I don't have a clue. Did I do something? What should I? She had called every person in the church, in the directory, said, I'm leaving the church. Pastor Stan's idiot. He's no good. Not a good preacher, not a good pastor, blah, 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 whatever she would said. Called every person in the church. I'm leaving the church. You should come with me. It's not a good place. Pastor's not a man of God. He's going to, whatever. He's not, you need to leave the church and come with me and go to this other church. Called every person. We were crushed. That broke our hearts. Innocence gone. I thought we were building something wonderful. We were just all love and it was going to be amazing. And so, until you realize it's people. Everybody else seemed to be glad that she was gone. Don't worry about it, Pastor. Gone. Probably month of anguish, pain, trying to get through it, trying to get over it. Just keep going, right? Just keep swimming, baby. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Just keep moving forward. One day I'm up front. I'm tuning my guitar. Bum, 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 tuning my guitar. She walks into the church. Nobody said nothing to her. She walked into the church, stood right in the middle of the sanctuary, down the center aisle, just like this, staring me down. Every head in the place, whew, looking at me. What's he going to do? What's he going to do? I put my guitar down. I walked right up to her, looked her in the eyes, and gave her a big old hug and said, "Are you worshiping with us today?" My heart's beating. There's sweat. My blood pressure's through the roof. Do you think my flesh wanted to do that? I think you can understand, or at least relate, to how difficult that can be. To love the unlovable when it's at you. I didn't want to hug that lady. I obeyed God. I can't imagine that Hosea wanted to go get Gomer. He obeyed God. I know for a fact that Jesus did not want to endure the suffering upon the cross, but he obeyed God. Not my will, Lord, but your will be done in my life. Go, show your love. Go, show your love. Now listen, before I get too far down into this road, listen. Before I got too far down, I'm writing this and I'm sharing this example to you. The Lord hit me pretty hard. I'm sorry, Pastor Stan, the Lord's speaking to me. Do you think you're the prophet in this story? Oh, I'm sorry, Pastor Stan. Do you think you're the one that's doing all the rescuing in this narrative? I'm sorry, Pastor, are you the one? You think you're buying back the lost? Do you think you're the shining example? You're Gomer. I'm Gomer. I'm the one who's left. I'm the one whose innocence is gone. I'm the one who betrayed him. I'm the one who spiritual adultery. I'm the one who walks away. Though I try with all my might in every circumstance, I fail over and over and over again. Do you think you're so righteous? You're Gomer. You're the one who needed rescue. You're the one who was enslaved. You're the one who was bound up, trapped in all your own ways, in the web of your own spinning. I know we love because he first loved us. I don't know how to love correctly. My flesh does not want to, nor can it. And I know this, thank you, dear. Whoever would claim to love God and hate their brother or sister is a liar. I can't say it to you any stronger than the Word does. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. And here's the truth of it. Here's your next slide. Because true believers, they are in agony over their sin. Marginal believers, they're at peace with their sin. you think about what the Lord's telling you, talking to you about. He just made sure that in that beautiful little example of how I hug somebody in the midst, this wonderful example, still needed saving, still needed rescuing. And you think about your own sin. Does it plague you? Does it haunt you? Does it hurt you? Or have you, I'm at peace with it. Here's what Hosea had to do. So I bought her with 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethic of barley. There's your next one. It was a lavish purchase. It was a lavish purchase. Gomer was bought for a price. And it was a heavy, heavy price to pay for something so worthless. Something that seemed so easily discarded. I had to forget my vengeance. I had to swallow my pride. I had to let go of the pain and any retaliation that I might want and honor God and attempt to redeem a wandering soul. My pain, secondary. Listen, my pain, secondary. Honor God with your attitudes and your actions, and you fight against the flesh. You go and love the unlovable. Listen, here's your next one. Do you think that your suffering is only and always about you? Do you think your pain and your suffering is always and only about you? Your sacrifices are meant to build others up. Hosea's life was given over to something way beyond the pain and the suffering. Hosea's life was given over to the Lord to utilize as the Lord saw fit, to involve himself in the Lord's plans. Jesus' life was given over to something beyond the suffering. Included the suffering, included the way of pain, included the way of humiliation and mockery and the Via Dolorosa. You were bought with a price. You were bought with a price that was more than money, more than silver, more than gold. Beyond the tangible and the material, you were bought with humiliation. You were paid for in embarrassment and ridicule, public shame in the midst of mockery and insults, all on display for all to see. All the disobedience that you brought to God, all the pain that I have caused the Lord, it breaks his heart over and over and over again. All the anguish as you whip him again, just another Judas kiss, just another Gomer lover, just another idol to worship. Something else that comes before God. In spite of all you have done, in spite of all that I have done, he bought us back. He purchased us back. All the sin, all the pride, all the arrogance. You are not left abandoned for your own misdeeds. You are not left abandoned in your own deeds. You were redeemed and ransomed. According to God, you were worth it. According to God, I was worth it. When I thought I was worthless, he thought I was worth it. He thought you were worth the suffering. He thought your soul was worth fighting for. Listen, redemption, redemption, if it's going to work, is going to be painful. Reconciliation, if it's going to work, will be painful. It will cost you. It will cost you your self-centered attitude. It will cost you your ego. It will cost you your opinion. You will have to die to yourself. Your flesh is secondary. Your pain is secondary. I'm reading a story about a young boy who built a toy sailboat. He carved it himself, you know, like they do the soapbox derbies with the cars. He's building a little boat. He carves it up and makes a mast, and he stitches the sails together even. He does it all by hand. And it comes the day he wants to test it out. So he's going to go put it in the water just to see if it's even buoyant, if it'll float or what it'll do. Puts it in the water. It's beautiful. It's nice. It's sitting around. Oh, hoists up the sail. Puts the sail out. This is good. Oh, and the wind takes it. It starts to sail. Woo, this is good. Yeah. And then it keeps on sailing. And he goes into the water and tries again, and he can't get it. And the boat just sails on away. Far, far from the shore. Yeah, I can't believe it. A couple months later, he's walking down, and he looks in a thrift store, and guess what he sees? It's my boat. I see my boat. He's so excited, he can't stand it. He runs into the store, right? Grabs the boat, tells the sales clerk, "This is my boat. See, it's even got my name on it right there. This is my boat." And he starts to walk out. Nope. You're going to have to pay for it, son. You done lost the boat. You're going to have to pay for it. I ain't got no money. It's my boat. It's got my name on it. I made it. Nope. You lost the boat. Interesting. With no money, he's determined. So he starts delivering groceries, making some money. Picks up a paper route and starts making some money. In a couple months, he has enough money, and he goes back and he buys the boat. Hallelujah and amen. And he looks at the sailboat and says, "You're my sailboat. You are mine. In fact, you are twice mine." Here's your next slide. See, twice mine. Once when I made you, twice when I bought you. You sure you understand born again? Once when he made you. Twice when he bought you. And listen, here's your last one. I'm trying to bring it home. He paid a price for a purpose. There's a purpose for it. And if you can catch this, I promise you, it will change your life. If you can catch hold of this, it will give you confidence to rise. See, you'll move from spiritually surviving to spiritually thriving. And spiritually thriving may look different than you think it does. Let me ask you a question. Do you think Hosea spiritually thrived? Do you think Jesus spiritually thrived? Do you think Paul spiritually thrived? Did Peter spiritually thrive? Even in the midst of all that suffering, even in the midst of all that pain, are you sure you know what it is to spiritually thrive? Not spiritually survive. Spiritually thrive. This is where you go from going through life to living an abundant life. keeping your head above water until walking on water. Or you go from just having enough to having an overflowing of abundance. Where you go from feeble to fantastic. Where you go from weak to mighty. Spiritually thriving is when you surrender. You surrender your ways for God's ways. You surrender your thoughts for God's thoughts. You surrender and give up and crucify your opinions and take hold of God's. The recognition that there was a reason behind the purchase. There was purpose behind the purchase. There was purpose behind the pain. There was purpose behind the suffering. There was a plan in the midst of all the circumstances all the time. Even though there was suffering and there was heartache, God is not punishing you. God is placing you. Am I being exiled and punished in New Life Alliance Church? Or has God placed me in New Life Alliance Church? Are you being punished where you are? Or has God placed you where you are? God has been involved with you from the start, from the very beginning. God, listen now, God created something in you. God created something in you. God saw something in you that needed to be brought forth, that needed to be brought out, something that needed to be seen by the world, something that really needed to be seen by yourself, in yourself. The world would see. God had to bring it forth in you. You are the only you there is. And you are the only you that can do it. There's no one else like you on the planet. God has seen to it. You are unique. You have a purpose. There's a reason why he purchased you for a purpose. And sometimes that purpose involves pain. It involves suffering. It involves going to the cross. It involves sacrificing yourself, surrendering everything you are and everything you got. There would only be one Hosea to serve as an example. There would only be one Jesus that could do only what Jesus could do. There is only one you that can do only what you can do. A faith that is undaunted by circumstance. A faith that would be strong, that would overcome feelings. A love that is not determined by the behavior of others. Must they be lovable for you to love them? God's doing something in you to show forth to the world. A love so deep and so divine, it would sacrifice its own self and its own flesh. The world is very unfamiliar with this type of love. It rejects this type of love. It misunderstands this type of love. In fact, it would crucify this type of love. And here's your next slide. Your life is a message to the world, not just your words. You should know that. If you don't know that, start acting better. Because your actions speak so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. All I see is what you do, and what you do disobeys God. You've become at peace with your sin. God would say, adulterer, spiritual adulterer, you've chosen other things over me. This Hosea not just sold out to preach, his whole life was sold out to serve the Lord, to serve as an illustration of the acts of betrayal and to show the love of a redeeming God. You have a lasting purpose, an eternal purpose, a kingdom-sized purpose. Hosea thrived spiritually. you're still reading about him. You will thrive spiritually, and you can overcome. It's hard and it's difficult, and you won't want to do it sometimes. But walk in obedience to your calling. Walk in the confidence of your faith. Stand firm in your convictions. Complete the mission that God has for you. God encourages and restores those that have repented. Are you in agony over your sin? We understand that we're Gomer. I understood it. The Lord hit me pretty hard. We know we need rescuing. We know we're not perfect. We know that there is none righteous. There is none. No one. We all need the Lord. We all need rescuing. And we can come to a place of understanding like Hosea that we can thrive spiritually. Go. You are capable. You are capable of showing mercy. You are capable of forgiveness. You are capable of showing grace. You are capable of loving the unlovable. And the Lord opens new doors and opens new beginnings for you. God forgives, he restores, he heals, and God brings hope. We have to go from knowing about God to knowing God, to trusting God, to believing in God, trusting in our experiences, that even if it was meant for evil, God will turn it to the good. For his glory. He is pursuing you, he has paid for you, and he has a purpose for you. And this, by the way, your next slide, came for you, and I thought I'd show it to you. Let me pray for you. What a friend we have in Jesus. Father, I thank you so very much for your word. I thank you for the way in which it can teach us and show us. And Father, I don't mind admitting I get scared reading about Hosea. Father, and how you would utilize this prophet and this man of God to be the message. Oh, Heavenly Father, may our lives, may our message be of one of love and forgiveness and compassion and grace. Lay out our lives before you to utilize as you so desire. Help and guide us that we might lay our flesh aside, that we might walk more in the Holy Spirit of God. Reach deep into the very depths of our souls that we might understand how sin hurts you. Wash us clean in the blood of your Son, Jesus. Forgive us for the times when we have fallen short. We have chased after the things of this world. We have chased after the momentary pleasures. Father, wash us clean that in this place, this very day, we feel and are righteous before you, not because of what we have done, but because of what your Son has done. Cover us in the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we may be washed and made clean. Help us, Father. Guide us and lead us that we might bring you glory in our lives, might serve as a message. In the name of your Son, I would pray. Amen. God bless you guys.